Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned into the cutting room floor. Yes, for Thursday night, you are tuned into the cutting room floor. I am LeVar, and as always, I can not do this ride alone by myself. Here to join me is my lovely co-host, Mary. Mary, are you with us?
Of course I am.
Yes. No, today was Happy Chocolate Day. Yeah. Now, besides yours truly, do you have a favorite chocolate?
I can name a few. No. I am a milk chocolate person. Although I do find an affinity for the dark chocolates every so often.
Well. You know, actually,
evil of our heart. It's late night for us. Come on, we gotta go evil.
I know. But actually, they do say that dark chocolate is healthy for you. So, ladies,
see,
how are you?
There you go. I just need to get more dark chocolate in my diet.
Yeah, once you go chocolate, you never go back. we've got a lot to cover on this day. Quite a mess, and it's rare that we get a chance to kind of like go into like. A major, like, controversial story. And we usually like to keep it lighthearted for those who normally listen. And as you know, we're normally on Fridays at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. That's our normal time slot, but there is a special reason why tomorrow we are not on it. We're on tonight, and that's the love lawyer, Corey Fettman, will be joining me tomorrow on a special edition of the 411 Lounge at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So Corey will be here tomorrow.
Yeah, she's usurping me.
if you guys are around, then definitely give it a listen. It's always fun when Corey gets a chance to join me. But tonight, I'm starting off with kind of a controversial story. And this comes from yesterday. And it was about students at Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania who now can get the morning after pill by just sliding $25 into a vending machine. It's an idea that has drawn the attention of federal regulators and raised questions about how accessible emergency contraception should be. At the Student Health Center at Shippensburg, which is a secluded public institution of about 8,300 students, which is pretty much in between the mountain ridges and the Cumberland Valley in Pennsylvania, they provide the Plan B one-step emergency contraceptive in the vending machines along with condoms, decongestants, and pregnancy tests. And some students say that they think that it's great that the school is giving them that option. They heard some kids say that they will be too embarrassed to go into town. Now, mind you, the permanent population in Shippensburg is about 6,000. And now, federal law makes the pill available without a prescription to anyone 17 or older, and the school check records have found that all current students are that age or older. It doesn't appear that any other vending machine in the U.S. dispenses the contraceptive, which can prevent pregnancy if taken soon after sexual intercourse. Now, going into the deep end of this story is that the machine's been in place there for about 2 years, but its existence wasn't known until recently. And the FDA has taken a sudden interest in it because there's plenty of religious groups who have an issue with access to such birth control. And there is fear that in making it such readily available like that, that people who are underage could possibly get there and get a hold of it. And I guess, you know, you've read the article. There's much more on this story. We can put it on our page on Twitter as well. But I guess I'm going to go out there and I'm going to ask it, I mean, is there such a big risk as this? And would it be, I guess, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm not going to pretty much say what I want to say on this one yet, just yet. But is it something that should be available at a college? If so, should there be some steps in place, or is this a good thing, or should the school spend more time in, I guess, partnering with local pregnancy resource centers where students can get the help if they need it?
I would say you're playing devil's advocate, right? Because I think we both agree on this one
It's my favorite game, but I'm playing devil's advocate.
Okay, so you get to play devil's advocate, so I'll do the straight and narrow. I think it's fine. I think that most college students, if you're responsible enough to have sex, you should be responsible enough to live with the consequences. And if part of that responsibility is having safer sex. I'm not saying that I am for having people have sex at the age of 17. I'm not saying that I'm against it. I'm saying that when I was in college, there were people that were going along and doing what teenagers and young adults do. So with that being said, should it be in a vending machine? Maybe, maybe not. But if everybody's over the age of 17, then there is no reason for it not to be in the vending machine. If somebody underage wants it, there's no law that says that I, as someone that is above the age of 17, cannot buy it and give it to someone that is under the age of 17. It's not like alcohol. So until they have that written into the law, I think there's really no leg to stand on. And had they not made it, it's such a big story. I don't think a lot of the 16 and younger year olds that are sexually active in town would even know it was there. It's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. I come up from a small town. People are doing what they're going to do anyway, regardless of whether it's in a vending machine or not. Sure. Devil's advocate. Go.
Well, I'm kind of with you. It's one of those things where I hate to use the whole thing of saying, you know, for the people who are too, I'd rather it would be in that vending machine for someone to get than to be afraid to go and buy it or have someone go and buy it at the store or in the town and not have it and something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes down to a lot of people, and now I know you're going to get people that are going to be mad, and they'll bring up the religious reasoning, and, you know, we'll leave that for another time. You know, there's people who don't believe in taking that because they feel that even in cases of everything that, you know, could cause you to become pregnant, that you should just go forward with it. But this comes down to that right to life issue, and I don't really want to get into that today. We only got 30 minutes, and we would be here forever. But I'd much rather it would be available, handedly available, if they needed, than to, say, be too embarrassed and then something happens and it's whoops, uh-oh. But then again, you're right. They are adults at this point. And when you partake in such activity, you know, this is why it's a little bit more important to be of adult mind when you do that, because then if there are consequences, you can handle it like an adult. You know, it's the funny thing that I think that when, you know, sometimes this stuff happens, you know, how quickly people turn back to kids. That's why they talk about kids having kids. You know, when you have teenage pregnancies, you know, all of a sudden they turn back into kids and they want to be protected, and oh no, I didn't do that, and they run away. But, you know, if this is available and it is at an age of 17 where it's there, I really don't see a problem with it. I really don't, and I would think that I'd rather have that there with the condom so that you would have your choice of contraceptive to use.
I like how that there's decongestant in there, too, because, you know, you might not be pregnant. You might just be sick.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was my bad joke for the night. Walk, walk, walk.
And so I walked right by it. dang it, I know.
Racing on.
but the story is a very interesting one. It is online. Like I said, the college is in Iowa, but
and it's a debate that could take hours.
Yeah, it's a debate that could take hours and will continue, but it just won't continue here tonight because we've got more to cover. And going on to the next story is one in which I waited until today to actually watch the video. But I'm coming at this from two ways. The latest childhood moment turned viral video isn't exactly heartwarming. And this story comes from Shine on Yahoo, a great article by Piper Weiss. And it's a controversial video that a father shot of his four-year-old son running through the snow, wearing nothing but his underwear and a pair of shoes. And it sparked cries of abuse. On a visit to the United States, he, Li Sheng of Nanjing, China, filmed his young son whimpering and shuddering during an icy run through the streets of New York City. And the video, which was posted anonymously after dad mailed an email to friends, is at the center of a debate. Is this child abuse or just extreme parenting? A source close to the family says that the demands of the father made on his son were born out of love. And they go into a thing about how the child has received all sorts of training since he was small, how he was born with health problems, and how the parents have used these extreme methods to try to boost their son's immunity. And they think that it's working. But I guess, you know, some people would call it child abuse, and, you know, and some people would say that the father was cruel. But I guess it brings about another hot topic. And it begs the question that when videos like this come out, and when it's in this world of social media and everything else, and I'm going to point to another story here in Chicago recently of a parent that posted pictures of his daughter with duct tape over her mouth, and he was playing around, he said, and he actually had served some time in jail, having to be released. But if the internet becomes a melting pot of shared experiences, when do you blow the whistle on a stranger's parenting practice, and is it fair to judge by, quote, our own standards? You've seen the video. What was the first thing you thought when you saw it?
Honestly, I was laughing at it. Is it right? Not my call. Is it extreme parenting? Again, not my call. Not my child. And I'm one of those people that you want to raise your kid that way, that's fine. Do I agree with it? No, I'm not going to have my kid running around naked in, well, not naked, but in underwear and shoes in snow. It's not something I'm going to do, but I'm also not going to be the one person that's going to go, oh, my God, you're bad parents. Because I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it is working. Maybe it isn't. Not up to me. It's up to the parents and the child.
But upon first view of the video, it didn't look like the kid was having a good time.
No.
no,
it didn't.
You in that?
That's why I laughed, because the kid doesn't look like he's having a good time at all. You know what? I think that I have a daughter, and I know that most people that have listened at least more than once knows this about me. I do have a daughter, and at one point in her life, she did come traipsing out of the bathroom in nothing but shoes, and announced to an entire room of my friends and family that she was naked. I, shocked and mortified, hurriedly put some clothes on my child, who, again, stripped them off because she wanted to be naked. Now, I know that the kid in the video doesn't look like he wants to be that way, but it's, again, it's one of those things where it's not like I'm sitting here going, it's not my call, you know? Until the child says this is too much to someone else that is of an authority figure, there's not much I can say, you know?
Yeah. It's a very tough call, and like I said, when you look at the video, you feel bad for the kid because it does look like he's like not really not enjoying that. And it's, you know, but I like that that's their kid, so, you know, I guess unless it was a really, really bad situation where, say, I don't know, and I hate using
it would have to be immediate. To me, it'd have to be immediate threat of death, you know, before I step in. And it would be that it'd have to be that extreme to, I'm going to cut your fingers off and have the knife in hand, like aiming to cut off fingers. Then I would step in. I'm not going to say that, you know, if you're going to sit here and say, I'm going to spank you, or I'm going to, you know, you're grounded for 4 days, or whatever your discipline is, whatever your practices are, whatever your religion is, I can't say anything about that. The only time I would ever step into another parent situation is if I saw real abuse. And that would be physical harm to the point of possible death. I mean, it has to be extreme. And although he is running through some deep snow and not liking it, he wasn't in that much danger, really. I mean, other than getting cold and possibly, you know, the danger was minimalized because there were people there that could easily say, okay, you're cold, here's a coat, you know?
I did have one other issue, and I it's not regards to that, but I only have one other issue with parents who film their kids for YouTube. And it's, I'm sorry, but whenever we do these sporting events and you film your kids crying and bawling their eyes out, stop it. It has gotten old. I swear, if I see one more parent after a World Series or a Super Bowl filming their kids, bawling their eyes, fake tears, I am going to shake my computer screen. It is so... I know I'm going to be in the minority. If you're with me, I'm going to start like a petition. It is like gotten just, your kids aren't cute when they cry. They look ugly. I'm sorry. I'm going to be the first one to point it out. It's an ugly thing, and it's a bad, bad, bad trend. Stop it. No one wants to see your kid with their thick tears and the ugly face crying about a team losing. It looks horrible. Stop it.
And 2 minute rant is done.
Yes, it's done. Moving on. And our new article is out. And if you're looking for love in all the right places, 10 U.S. cities rank tops for their dating-friendly credentials, except for dating pools distinguished by diversity or high proportion of singles, superlative dating venues, and or stunning natural settings. They have come out with a list of America's Yahoo Travel has come out with America's best cities for dating. Quickly going through the list, Austin, Texas made the list because of the music scene. Also, thanks largely to the University of Texas campus. Boston, because they're a renowned hub for higher education, where they have 50-plus institutes that call the Boston area home, and along with their bursting Boston Cub scene, Chicago made the list. And
you sound surprised.
So if you're looking, yeah, well, you know what? It was made, and I think there's a brand new movie out which is set in Chicago, kind of romantic comedy. I think it's coming out this week. But they said that Chicago is made for dating. You can check out world-class art museums, comedy clubs, sporting venues, the city's cityscape, outdoor enthusiasts who usually flock to Lincoln Park or Lake Michigan or the Navy Pier. Miami also made the list because of its sensual Latin flavors and nightlife down that way, and the beaches and food. And we're talking about dating spots. So this is, you know, New Orleans, which I was kind of surprised, made the list.
I'm in New Orleans? Come on.
Oh,
lots of skin flashing in New Orleans.
Well, I mean,
especially
I guess
during
New
Mardi Gras.
Well, I guess, yeah, because of that. But that's more of like a... I guess, no, I'm not going to say it. It was going to be a pretty cool joke. But I was going to say
French
One Night
Quarter,
Stansville.
Man.
But,
it's all about the French.
It's One Night Stansville, but I'll give you credit. New York City, which is big on dating with its New Yorkers and its cultural diversity. Phoenix and Scottsdale, because of the sun and the many resorts. It is late. San Diego, a place that I know that you visited recently, San Diego. With its summer weather, buzzing beach culture, hip nightlife scene, and a generous population of tan, hard body singles, which they say, along with the historic gas lamp quarter.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, because it's seen as the cultural capital of California, which is a boon for diverse, creative, singles-based people. Seattle, with their coffee houses on practically any corner, made the list as well. So if you're looking out to go out and date, I guess those places are the places to go.
Yeah, but Vegas didn't make the list with their hourly rate hotels and the, I'm sorry.
In their matchbooks.
That's a different
that,
list.
in their matchbooks that encourage dating, but.
Yeah, that's a different list.
It'll cost you. It's bad. It's so bad.
That's why I'm moving to Chi-Town.
By the way, I feel like we're in a meeting before I go any farther with some of our other stories, but did you have any old news or new business to bring to the table? Did you have any shout-outs this week?
Oh, yeah. I need to shout out some people from Vegas. My first-class auto detailer. He's awesome. Dude, he can put a shine on poo. We'll do it that way. I kept the swearing to a minimum. But I'm serious. This guy is awesome. So shout out to him. Yay.
Hey, shout out.
Call him. Call him. Make sure that the message you call when you call and leave him a message, make sure it's funny because he likes to laugh.
And make sure you breathe really heavy.
Yes. And call him a pimp.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question. When you see a guy, do you like the cut of the jeans that they usually wear?
That depends. Are they wearing it below their butt crack? Because if they are, then no. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, see, now you walk right into a really bad thing because I was going to say, do you like the smell of their jeans? And then when you said,
if I'm anywhere near the jean area and I'm trying to get a smell, I'm not really worried about her. Sorry, trailed off.
Here is something that's brand new out there. If you don't mind shelling out $150 for a pair of raspberry scented jeans, you can at least save some of that hard-earned cash by skipping regular trips to the laundromat. I did not stutter. It was raspberry scented jeans. The Daily Mirror reports that Naked and Famous Denim is now selling a line of scratch and sniff men's jeans. Oh Lord, that's just bad itself.
First of all, why would you want to scratch?
I don't know. And there's particular areas where I would advise against scratching and sniffing, but they're now selling a line of scratch and sniff men's jeans that can last the owner of repeated wearing. And the company's website states, yes, these jeans actually smell like raspberry candy when scratched. The effect is created by coating the denim fabric with a special coating that contains mini micro capsules. Naked and Famous denim spokesman Bizarre Trinos tells the Mirror that hardcore denim lovers don't wash them for months to get an individual look. He says, I wear them every day, and when they get too dirty or my girlfriend complains, I get them washed. Still, how many guys are going to pick raspberry as their go-to scent? To that end, Naked and Famous says that they will soon be offering the scented jeans in additional fragrances, including apple, banana, eucalyptus, grapefruit, and mint.
Where
do you scratch and
sniff? Jeans.
Yeah,
it's a whole new pickup line.
Yeah. Hey, girl, you want to stretch and sniff my jeans? You know, that's not going to fly at the bar.
No, not coming from the guy, but you know what? I could use it tonight in the club. Be like, dude, you got scratch and sniff jeans? Let me try it out. Hey, how you doing?
What? No, there's so many ways I could go with that. And
it's late night, after dark.
You know, yeah. I'm just kidding. So, unfortunately, I am going to, with about 6 minutes to go, I did have another good story this week, but I'm going to leave that for next Friday's show. I actually want to get to one because I always have a story that I kind of leave before. I don't tell Mary usually what some stories are. I usually give her a list of all the ones that we'll cover, but I leave a few off just to see her reaction to some. And I read one this week of 15 of the world's weirdest marriages. Yes. With Valentine's Day coming up and it's soon upon us, that means people around the world will be trying to get engaged. And if you're one of those lovebirds or are feeling anxious about popping the question, don't worry. If you let some emotions get to the best of you, you might end up chickening out and marrying your cat. You're not joking. And instead of social conflict over who can marry who, you might be surprised at the strange marriage choices people have been making for decades. And I will read down the list of some of these. There was a man, of course, who married himself. In 2007, Liu Yi of China decided he would be married and marry himself and be single. And so he had a foam board cut out of himself dressed in a lovely red dress. He admits to being narcissistic instead of his nuptials. There are many reasons for marrying myself, but mainly to express my dissatisfaction with reality. I guess if he loved himself, that would also be something, but that would be a TMI. It was a person who married oneself. She married herself in the Netherlands. Her name was Jennifer Hose, who's an artist, and she married herself in the Netherlands on her 30th birthday. She said, why not pledge allegiance to yourself in ceremony as the basis for completion of your life relationships? Of course, there's other stories. Some have married themselves. One of Chin Wei Yi, who married herself in Taiwan. Then there's stories of people who have married animals. There was a woman who married a snake in 2006. A Hindu woman in India claimed she had fallen in love with a snake and then married the snake in accordance to Hindu marriage rituals. More than 2,000 people participated in a celebratory procession because they felt a wedding would bring good luck. The snake did not attend, but was represented by a brass likeness of himself.
I married a snake. Does that count?
After a 15-year courtship, a British woman married Cindy the Dolphin in a ceremony in Israel. She claimed when they met it was love at first sight and called the male dolphin the love of her life. She's still been dealing with a kiss and the gift of a herring. Then there was a man who married a goat in Sudan. That's a joke that I don't even want to walk into. But it says that be careful who you're caught being intimate with. There's a law that dictates that if a man is caught sleeping with a woman, he must marry her immediately to save the honor of the family. In 2006, the law was applied to a goat. Charles Tombe was caught having relations with the goat and was forced to marry it and pay a dowry to its owner as a form of public embarrassment. I don't even want to know what he was dealing with that kid. There was a man who married his dog, a farmer in India who had suffered from some disabilities, believed he had been cursed after stoning two dogs to death in a rice field. Doctors couldn't help him, but his astrologer told him the only way to lift the curse would be to marry a dog and live with it, which he did. There was one man who married his cat. Then there was a woman who married a tower. Yes, a tower. A former soldier from San Francisco claimed she fell in love with the Eiffel Tower, so in 2008 she made it official and went so far as to change her name to Erica La Tower Eiffel. She was also once in a long-term relationship with a beau and cares deeply for a fence she keeps at home, but her wedding commitment is to the Eiffel Tower. And then there was a woman with a wall, and then a person who has a digital wife, and other stories include a woman in a roller coaster, and, of course, a man in a doll, a woman in a pot, and the one that got to me was a man in his pillow. Perhaps it's easier. It's clearly how Lee Jin Drew felt when he decided to marry a pillow. The pillow has the face of a popular female anime character on it, so it was apparently quite attractive to the South Korean fellow when he tied the knot with his betrothed in 2010.
Congratulations to all of them. Oh, my God. Well, you know what? No, I'm sorry. Sometimes women do get married to snakes and dogs, so in the human variety, of course, but they're still snakes and dogs.
You talk about one to love you with. That's just taking a little too far. Oh, really?
I love it.
I don't know. You just when you think,
win.
If you told me I'd
be laughing so hard, I'd be crying. You win. I'm crying.
So
that's hilarious.
To all of you, I know we won't see you by Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day. We'll be posting that story on our website. And my friend, the clock is telling me we're out of time. Anything quick here in the next minute?
Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. All my love and kisses.
All right. Fantastic. And so, for Mary, I am LeVar. Make sure to join me tomorrow. Love Lawyer will be here, 5:30 Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And then Sunday night, we'll be back with upon further review. And then we will be back here Friday at our regularly scheduled time for another edition of The Cutting Room Floor. So have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.